So you know, Acha maybe min Arekem, min Acheger, Rav Elazar, Ach Mikfar Ludim Lelud, even if the proximity is close, it's Mikfar Ludim Lelud, right outside of the boundary of Eretz Yisrael, right over the border into Eretz Yisrael. Since it's a get Mimedina Sayam, we require B'faninach to B'faninach. Chacham Bomrim Eino Tzarech, Shiyomer B'faninach to B'faninach Tam, Ela HaMeidi Mimedina Sayam. Only if the get comes from Eretz Yisrael, from Medina Sayam, or B'hamolech, or B'hamolech, if a person brings from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laretz. Then Mishnah goes on and says, "Amevim b'medina l'medina b'medina sayam tzarich shiyomer panenach tefanenach tam." From one country to another, from one jurisdiction, in other words, to another, there's also the requirement when you give a get to say panenach tefanenach tam. Rav Shimon Abi Lomar, afilu mehegmonya lehegmonya. Even in the same city, if you have two different governments, there too there'd be this requirement. Rav Yehuda Amar Mirekem LeMizrach, Mirekem KeMizrach, MeAshkel LeDarom, Ashkelon KeDarom, MeAkol LeTzafon, Akol LeKetzafon. Rav Meir Amar Akol Keretz Yisrael LeGittin. Then the Mishnah goes on to discuss the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, which we're going to discuss today, with regard to this requirement of B'faninach T'faninach Tam. And then the final line of the Mishnah, which is Hamevi get Eretz Yisrael Ein Tzar Shom B'faninach T'faninach Tam. If the get is being delivered inside of Eretz Yisrael, then there's no requirement of B'faninach T'faninach Tam. However, Inei Shalav Orim Yiskayim B'chosama. If there is a challenge to the authenticity of the get, the Gemara later on in Daf Hey explains that this error is likely to come from the husband. Right? He's going to say this is not a valid transaction. I never commanded, I never consigned for this get to be written. So then the rule is, Yiskayim b'chosamav, it requires chasimas edim, it requires authentication. Well, then we noted last week, the Shaka Vatari of the Gemara, where the Gemara says, Mai tama, Rabba amar, shein b'kiyin l'shman, Rabba amar, l'fi she'ein, edim mitzuyim l'kaimo. The two explanations that the Gemara gives, we're not going to go over the whole Gemara now, because we did it last week, and we'll have to go back to it anyway. Namely, is the reason, is the chashash, the problem of l'shma, we're worried that the sofrim are not always careful to write l'shma, or is the problem that maybe there'll be a forgery, and we're concerned that the Edom will not be present in order to authenticate their signatures, and therefore the problem is one of Kiyum Shtaros, and that's why you have to say B'faninach Tam to establish that the get is an authentic document. Then the Gemara gives a couple of mafkamina, and then the Gemara asks, if you go like four lines down, the Gemara says, Ularav adam l'fishem b'kiyin l'shma li'bay trey nididahava kol eduyos shevetorah. If indeed the problem is to establish that it was Lishma, and the Gemara in Gimel Amud Aleph asks the same question according to Rava. If you look on Gimel Amud Aleph for a minute, the Gemara says, again, this is 1, 2, 3, 6 lines down. Rava Dama Lepishen Mitzli Makaimo Liboy Trey Midhava Kiyim Shtaros Dialma. Normally, if you have to verify the signatures of a star to establish that it's authentic, you need two witnesses. It's not enough to have a single witness. And here we're saying that the Shliach Halacha can pronounce the B'faninach T'faninach Tam, and all of a sudden all the problems go away. Rabba's Lishma and Rabba's problem of Eidim Mitzuyim L'Kaimo. So originally the Gemara tries to give answers. Eidachad Nemun B'Yisurin. And then the Gemara says, Eidachad Nem B'Yisurin isn't going to help you here, because Eidachad Nem B'Yisurin applies to Yisurim, and in a case where there's no Ischazak Yisura. As you have a Cheft, so you don't know what it is. It's a neutral object, as far as you know. It doesn't have any past history. And we want to establish that it's kosher. So Eidachad is Nemun to say it's kosher. But if it's Ischazak Yisura, or if it's not Yisurim at all, it's Arayos, then you require two edim. So in both cases, the Gemara finally answers that there's no real chashash min haTorah here. In the case of the Shema, because if you look at the bottom of Beis Amud Beis, the problem with the Shema is taken care of because Rov B'kiyin Ein, 3 lines from the bottom, Gafiru L'Rav Meir D'chai Shlomiyuta Stam Sifrei D'daini Migmar Gemiri, even Rav Meir, who normally is choshesh for Miut, will agree that in this case, the likelihood that they get, or the shtar was written properly, is so overwhelming that this miut is a, to use terms that we used last year in Chulin, it's a miut she'eno matzoi. meaning it's not a significant meal. Therefore, there's no real problem. The only thing is, Rabbanan who's a atzruch, Rabbanan had a chumrah to demand the funny nechtav for the, why exactly? For two possible reasons. Rashi seems to say, the very, very, very minute possibility that it was written lo lishma. Tosa says, Fiuka Tosa Stiramaschel, one second. Dibra Maskil, Lefishain Bekiyan Lishma. The, on base with base. Not the first one, but the second one. The smaller of the two Lefishain Bekiyan Lishmas. So Tosa says, Kasha. So the Kaman Tanya, who Atzmo Shevia Get, or Gito, Enotzar Shom Fanay Nechtam Fanay Nechtam. If the Baal brings the Get himself and gives it to the Isha, there's no Fanay Nechtam Fanay Nechtam. So Tosa says, Maishna hu mishlucho, Ichai Shirin Shem Lonasa Lishma. If the problem is that the Sofrim may have made a mistake and they didn't write it Lishma, why do we care whether the Shliach brings it or the Baal brings it? Maybe the Baal doesn't know that it needs Lishma either. The Tosa says, V'tama d'amar l'kaman minkat nakat levi yadei v'yu ma'ari lave lama lo ya'arer im mitzila yada d'bay Lishma v'hashta yada. The husband will say, I didn't know about this requirement of Lishma and I just found out about it. So he'll be able to be ma'arer. Tosa says, "Be'omeri, demaskinim b'samuch derob b'kiyanein stam sifrei gemiri v'lekel alaz bi'alma demistama shelo kedinya arer." V'hachashim v'viu abal ba'atz b'lekel mechash afil alaz desulol ma'arer k'damar b'samuch minkat nakat biyade. The Tosa says, "Midrabanan, we're not even worried about the 5% possibility that it's lo lishma. We're only worried about one thing." The Baal is going to be motzi laz on the get. He's going to try to undermine the credibility of this get. And to close that option to protect the isha and the reputation of the get, they were metakein b'fanay nechta b'fanay nechta. But since that's the case, so the Rabbanan hu da'atzrich v'achav yishumaguna kilu ba Rabbanan. Therefore, we believe the Ein Echad based on the principle of Mishuma Gina Iguna Ikularabad. And that's what Rava says in his side about Inim Makayim. If you look again on Gimel Aban Aleph, the Gemara says, same problem. So the Gemara says, Bidinhu, this is 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, about 17 lines down. Bidinhu de Bikim Shtaros Nami Loli Bari. Actually, when somebody challenges the authenticity of a shtar, basically, you can ignore it. Why? Kidderesh Lakesh is a very important rule in Shtaros, and we're going to be examining this more fully. Based on the rule of Resh Lakesh, who said, Resh Lakesh, Edim Aksum Mala Shtar, Nasa Kimishan Akra Yusuf Bethesda. Meaning, Edim signed on a contract are considered as if they were already interrogated and it was already established that they are valid witnesses. So therefore, if that's the case, then there's no need really for Mefanei Nechtam Mefanei Nechtam, because what are we worried about? That maybe it's a forgery and you have to verify the signatures and you can't find the Edim. We're not really worried about that because of Reish Lakish, who says that the Shtar defends itself. The Edim Shev Shtar is if they're interrogated. So the only reason we require this is Rabbanan Huda Atzrach V'achim Shemaguna Kila Barabban. Then the Gemara says, Haikula Chumrahu V'imatzuch Leitrei both cases, the Gemara asks this question. Namely, isn't your kula going to end up with catastrophic results? Because, on the one hand, you're making it easier for her to remarry. On the other hand, if the Baal does challenge the get, so now, since it's only against one, he has a stronger challenge. So maybe it would be better for her, never mind for him, if you were to demand the higher standard of two Edim. The kula here is, I'm sorry, the kula here is going to be a chumra. So the Gemara says, that's a good point. But kivin tomer mar b'fnei kama nosto, Rav Yochanan, Rav Chanina, chadam b'fnei shnayim, chadam b'fnei gimel, meikar medek dayik, v'lo osila ruei nasha. Since he knows, the aid, the shliach, that he has to give this in the presence of two or three other individuals, he's going to be very careful because his own reputation is on the line. Therefore, he's going to be very careful to report accurately. And therefore, even if the Baal later on chooses to challenge, we turned back his challenge on the basis of the Eidah. That's the Gemara. So what I was trying to explain was that the reason this is a fitting beginning of the Masechta is because Panenachtam is a Gzeira which includes components that are critical to both aspects, both purposes or goals of the Get. A Get has two basic functions. On the one hand, it has to be handled in such a way to protect the Ishus. Namely, you can't play fast and loose with an Ishus. There's Eishes Ish at stake, there could be Mamzerus at stake, there's the Kedusha of the institution of Kedushin at stake, which means that if you want to end an Ishus, you want to terminate an Ishus, you better make sure you do it properly, and that may even mean piling on Chumras. And not just any Chumras, super Chumras. Why do I mean super Chumras? Because remember, this is a miyut. The possibility of Lo Lishma is such a miyut that even Rav Meir is not kosher for it. And according to Bali Tosas, even Bifanei Nechtam isn't kosher for it. It's only that we're worried about Motzi Las. That's how Chomor extricating someone from a marriage is. You have to be super, super cautious. Anything less than that, right, undermines Ishus and opens up possibility of real damage to the Isha herself and to children that are born in a subsequent marriage. That's one element of Gerushin, and that's captured by the extra caution of the Fanei Nechtam, whether it be in the area of Lishma or in the area of Kiyum. Again, Minat Torah, Reish Lakish, Eidah Machsum Malashtar, Nasa Kamishan Akhbar Edusa Bebezda. But, even though Minat Torah, we don't take seriously the charge of Ziyuf, the charge of forgery, the Drabanan were Machmir. However, in both cases, we still want the Get to be efficient and effective. We want the Isha to be able to resume her life. Mishumagune Kila Barabana. So you have both the Kula and the Chumra. That's exactly what the Gemara itself asks. The next line, when it says, is that a Kula? That's not a Kula, that's a Chumra. It'll blow up in her face. The answer is Neidak Dayak. So that's basically the suggestion of why we begin with Bifanei Nechtav.
Reish Lakish is Din.
Yeah.
If it's from Dina Sayam, that's it. How do we say Kamishan Echrei just in the basin? Maybe it's in the Zuyuf.
Reish Lakish has nothing to do with where this took place. Reish Lakish is telling us a rule about Shtaros. It's a very fascinating rule, which we're going to discuss.
What gives credibility that Shtar might be a counterfeit?
But you're asking the question that Reish Lakish is answering. Reish Lakish says, Eidah Machsum Alashtar, Nasa Kamishan Echrei Dusa Bebezda.
Because Eidim don't exist.
Oh, so the question is, you're asking basically is, why isn't Reish Lakish circular? It's a catch-22. We're saying that the Eidim, it's that they're interrogated and they protect themselves. How can they protect themselves if the charge is that they don't exist? So we're going to discuss this more fully. I'll give you the short answer right now. And when we get back to it, we'll get to the longer explanation of it. Rashi on Gimel and Aleph explains that this is all based on a chazaka. We don't take seriously this charge because generally speaking, look at Rashi, you'll see. Lo chotziv inshi, one second. Okay, second. Okay, where is it? Yeah, Gimel Amud Aleph, for sure. The Bebezda. Kenasik Mishnah Kor, just in Bebezda. Correct. The Lochotzev Inish Lizyufe. That's Rashi. The Lochotzev Inish Lizyufe, the Pashtos means that there's an Umdina. It's a Rubid Leisa Kaman. Meaning there's a very strong rove that people don't have the chutzpah to forge documents. Therefore, the charge of forging documents is not a credible charge. Now, what we'll try to examine going forward, just one more second, is that maybe Lo Chotzev Inish Lizyufei is just the beginning, but it's not the end. Reb Chaim's big chiddush in Shtaros, which we're going to be discussing a lot, is that he thinks that the, although it's circular, for the reason that you asked, the Eidim and the Shtar defend the Shtar. There's a presumption that there's Eidim and that the Eidim themselves are made she'ein ze mezuyach. That's a very complicated idea. They're obvious to say that, you know, Reb Chaim was a great revolutionary, and, you know, he took certain concepts that used to be viewed as, you know, just, you know, chazakas and umdinas, and he transformed them into abstract legal categories. That's what he writes this in Ish Halacha and in Mado Deich Mido, this has been for Valvel. So always his prime example is shtaros. Says Reb Chaim took shtaros, he took a piece of paper, right, with a bunch of chazakos, and he created a magnificent legal instrument out of shtaros. This is what he means. The chazaka of lo chatzafinish lezufei is the basis when the shtar is held by the bala shtar, which in this case is, let's say, Isha comes to court and she's holding a get, or a malva shows up in court, right? A creditor shows up in court and he has a shtar chov. So biyad bala shtar, the bala shtar is able to read into the shtar on the basis of chazakos reasonable or plausible truths in the name of the Eden Shabbashtar. Now why that should be so, what should be the mechanism of that, you know, we'll get back to it. Why it can work even in a completely circular way, I don't know whether I can fully explain that. But some of the other aspects of it, I think, can be explained. That's what Chaim's big kiddush, to answer your question. Okay, yeah.
Is this the irrefutable assumption?
Oh, so that's a very good question.
Any claim of forgery?
No. I mean, if you can prove it with two witnesses, let me explain that. There are really three issues. Your question is very, very valid, and we're going to speak about this more fully. Yeah. I mean, right. This is halakhic contract law.
Right.
So, I'll just give you three quick, maybe four quick scenarios. I'll just tell you what the issues are. And then we'll come back to them. One is, is it rebuttable? Is there no? I mean, if there are two witnesses, if two Adam come and they say that a shtar is mezuyah, all things being equal, we'll believe them. Two other witnesses, not necessarily the names of the people written in the shtar, but two objective witnesses who come to court and they say, this is mezuyah, we'll throw out the shtar. However, question is, what if you have less than that? So this is a major debate. The view of most Rishonim is that if the Baal Davar, the other Baalim, let's say the husband in the case of a get, the Lover in the case of a Halva, comes to court and he says it's a forgery, he actually makes that challenge, that charge. So most of the Rishonim of the opinion that charge, Minat Torah, is refuted by Reish Lakish, by Edom Achsum Al Shar Nasa Kamish Nekarusim Bezner, which is the question you asked before. That really needs an explanation. However, not everybody. There's a famous sheet of Rabbi Avigdor, who's quoted in the Or Zeruah, I think it's Simon Tav Shin Ben Hei, also in the Hagos Mordechai, which is where most people know it from, in Masechet Kiddushin, Tav Kuf Savach Tes, or Ayin, who says that when we say, when the Gemara here says in Gittin, that Ein Machsum Al Shtar Nasa Kiddushin Echor Yisrael Bebezdin, meaning that in the Torah we dismiss the charge of Ziyuf, that's only the Chashash of Ziyuf. Meaning if a contract surfaces in court and no one challenges it, so in the Torah it's presumed to be Eina Machsum Al Shtar Nasa Kamishin Akhoi Jisim Hades. But he says if the Baal Davar himself charges it's a forgery, then you need Kim Shtar Zaraisa. Then you have to authenticate in the Torah. That is the view of Rabbi Victor. Rabbi Victor also says that if the Eidim themselves who are signed on the get say it's a forgery, right, we forged it, or it's not our signature, so again, we will require Kiyum Shtaros under those circumstances. So Rabbi Avigdor is the position that when the Gemara here says in Machsum al Ashtar, we dismissed the issue of forgery, the problem of forgery. All it really means is that as long as there's no evidence to the contrary, the presumption is that a contract that surfaces is a kosher contract. But that's the minority view. Now the Rambam is also relevant to this. If you look in our sheets, the last week, what number was that?
Two.
Set number two. So I put this Rambam here. Perek Zayin Halacha Beis. Perek Zayin Hilchos Geirushin Halacha Beis. Third page, page three of set two. Okay? So the Rambam, at least when it comes to Geirushin, takes the position that you, that I just mentioned for Abba Victor. Bohabal v'irer v'omar lo geirashti me'olam. Husband comes to court and he says, right, the shtar, the get, is a fraud. The get shehuvala, she has a get in her. And again, this is set number two, page three, second entry. The get shehuvala mizuyafu, she's waving a get in court, it's a forgery. Yiskayim b'chosam. Now, so far, all the Rambam wrote is the end, the seifa of our Mishnah. The Mishnah says that in Eretz Yisrael, when the zotin of b'fanai nachtam, if the baal is ma'arer, then you have to nekayim b'chosamas. But our Mishnah doesn't say whether it's daraisa or drabana. And based on the Gemara in Gimel Amud Aleph, most Rishonim take the position that it's drabana. Because in the Torah, even if there's a challenge, eidim achasum malashar is kemish and echkra idusa b'dezne. However, the Rambam says, the Rambam says the Irur Habal works Minat Torah, and you require Kiyum Chasamos, otherwise if she remarries and has children, the Vlad is a Mamzer. So the Beis Shmuel in Shulchan Aruch, what's that? Why didn't Yesh Koach Rav Chachamim?
They made the Darabon requirement.
You mean the Fanei Nechtam? Fanei Nechtam? Well, I mean, if you're asking the question, I mean, you may be skipping a step, though, but the question would be, if this was so, how could the Fanei Nechtam work? Because it's only an Echa. Right? So the truth is in the Gemara, in the Mishnah of the Gemara, it's not such a terrible problem, because if we're talking about precluding a challenge by having an Echa there, it's one thing. But the Gemara here in Gimel, and the Gemara later on even more explicitly, sounds that if the Baal were to be Ma'arer after the Shliach would say, funny enough, the funny Nechtam, that we would believe the Shliach. So then you have to wonder, how could that be against the Dindaraisa? So that is a very good question. Yeshua has an answer to that question. If you recall, I read in the Gemara says, well, once you have to give it in the presence of two or three people, Medak Dayak, the Shliach has to be really, really careful. So we can trust him. So Yeshua says, oh, if Sigmar introduced that, that can work on a Doraisa level as well. It's like Eidacha de Misa Saba. When Eidacha shows up and he says that somebody's husband died, we believe him, we say, Chomer Shechmarta Aleha, right? You know, the fact that there's so much at stake here is a reason to believe, even in Eidacha, in certain circumstances. So that's how the Pnei Yeshua answers that question. But this is the Rambam. Now the Rambam's view sounds like a Bavigdar. And the Beis Shmuel, which is, you know, I don't know if it's fair to call him the Shach of Ebenu Ezer, but at least he's on the side where the Shach is an Ebenu Ezer. I mean, the Shach is the Shach. But the Beis Shmuel is very prominent too. And the Beis Shmuel basically says, the Rambam holds like a Bavigdar. And he says, you know what? Since the Rambam holds like Rav Avigdor, all the poskim, including the Shach in Chosh Mishpat, Simin Mem Vav, who dismissed Rav Avigdor, right? They shouldn't have been so quick to dismiss it, because the Rambam holds like Rav Avigdor, and maybe we poskim that way. La halacha. Wow. In the Chiddush agrees on the Rambam. He also thinks that what the Rambam says here is a universal, is universally true in other shtaros as well. The Rav thought that this Rambam may be unique to Geirushin, because the role of the husband in Geirushin is more powerful than the role, let's say, of a malva in a chol, or a mocher, or I'm sorry, the role of a lova in a chol, or the role of a lokeach in a mecher. The reason is because the get is a unilateral minatora. It's bal korcha d'isha. It's unilateral. The shtar is created by the baal, sifui baal. He's the one who's totally in control. And as a result, it's his domain even after he gives the get. And therefore, we take seriously his error. Says what? That what?
Exactly what you said.
Yeah? Where does he say it?
He says it in many places that the... Since the
bowels, that the bowels has a stronger position. Yeah, I mean, the Gemara says it in a bunch of places, and there are, I think, many, many rayas. The Mordechai says it by Yamila Mimsa the Shliach, and many people say it. In connection with this particularly, I don't know what other people say. So then the Rambam might be limited to this halakha. That's now in between these two cases, since you asked. So we have what the Shach thinks are most Rishonim, clearly most Rishonim. Which is that even b'makom iror, we say Reish Lakish, that the shtar protects itself. Then we have Rav Avigdor on the other side. Maybe the Rambam with him, or maybe the Rambam only in Gittin. Then there's a middle case. I mentioned the Edim. Let's say the Edim who are signed on the get, they come and they say it's not our signature. It's forgery. What'll happen then? So again, the Rav Avigdor says, you require Kim Shtaris Minat Torah. Most Rishonim say, the Or Zeruah speaks about this, he says, no, not even the Edom are going to work. It's Kivin Chig, it's Shuk Nechozer Magid. They had their chance already. That's a little circular, because they're claiming that they didn't say anything. Okay. The Shach and the Marik consider the possibility, they don't pass in this way, l'halacha, but they consider the possibility, and the Nesivus also has possibility like this, that maybe even if we reject Rav Avigdor about Yerur Rabal, maybe we'll accept the idea of Rav Avigdor when it comes to the Edom. The Edom are more objective. There are two of them. Maybe the Edom will generate a requirement of Kiyum Daraisa, even if the Baal does not. Now, what I said before, the name of the Rav about the Rambam, I don't know what the Rav said about this, but if in light of the argument, one might say for the Rambam the opposite. It could be it's a special din in Irur Rabal because of his special koach in Gerushin, and maybe Irur Rabal in Gerushin is stronger than the Edom. The Edom in Gerushin and the Edom anywhere else. So these are different positions to answer your question. What is the scope of Edom Aksum al Ashtar? Nasa Kami Shenechra Egusa Bevezin. How much does the Shtar protect itself? Or is it subject to challenges? Now, the Drabbanan is a similar question. We're going to have to deal with this as we get to Tosis later on, but just something that you should know. Midrabbanan is a similar question, because we pass in Kim Shtaros or Drabbanan. It's Drabbanan. But there isn't it of Kim Shtaros. Now, what does that mean? So here we find a major debate. Some Rishonim say that Kim Shtaros Drabbanan means that Midrabbanan, any contract is a chaspa bialma, until you verify it. Midrabanan, if you just have a piece of paper or a contract with signatures, until you verify and authenticate it, it's nothing. That's the din of Kim Shtaros Drabanan. And other Rishonim say, Kim Shtaros Drabanan is not that. It just means that if there's a tainus mezuyah, then you're obligated to respond to it. Unlike the Daraisa. Very possibly, but not mukhrach. Well, let me say it this way. According to Rabbi Avigdor, Udi Imei, who say that when there's a challenge, even Doraisa, you're obligated to be Mekayim the Shtar. So for them, what's Kim Shtaros Drabanan? What's left? Probably, the requirement, even when there's no challenge, to authenticate a contract before you use it. But according to the majority of Rishonim who say that even when there's a challenge, Minat Torah, you're able to refute it because Kim Shtaros is not Doraisa, even in B'mokom Iror, even in a challenge. According to them, it's an open question. So when the Rabbanan came along and they said Kim Shtaros Drabanan, what did they say? Did they say, even though I'm not Torah, You don't need to refute this. Midrabanan, you better refute it. Or do they go further and say, Midrabanan, there's no contract if there's no verification. That seems to be a major debate in the Rishonim. I'll just give you a simple example of where it comes up, and then maybe we'll speak about it sometime later on. The last line of our Mishnah was that in the Yeshala Orin Yiskayim B'Kosav. That's the last line of the Mishnah. Again, I may be getting the Deret Yisrael Ein Tzar Shomer Panay Dakta Panay Nachdam in the Yeshala Orin Yiskayim B'Kosav. If there's a challenge, you have to respond. As we already explained, the Rambam thinks that's Daraisa. Most Rishonim think it's only Drabah. Correct? So Tosus has a comment. Tosus says, Aval Kozman de la'asi bala ma'arer, nises al piaget. As long as there's no challenge, the woman can get married right without authenticating this get. Now, I think I mentioned last time that the Ravid in Perek Yud Beis, Hilchos Gerushin, do we have a... Okay. Perek Yud Beis, Hilchos Gerushin, Halacha Gimel. Says something which is very difficult in light of our Mishnah, and it's a minority view in the Rishonim. The Rambam here says, Ba Habal... No, sorry. Perek Yud Beis, Halacha Beis. If a woman can produce two witnesses that there was a divorce, even though she doesn't have the document, she can get remarried, of course. On the other hand, let's say she has a document without witnesses. Here's my get. Right? She's believed. Kemo Shabiarna. So the Rambam says, even if the get is not authenticated, if she produces a get, we operate, we believe it. So the Ravid says, Omer Avram, Omer Ani, she is kind to Chosama, half a bishul yatzal of Yor. Even if there's no challenge, she is obligated to authenticate the get. How does that fit in with this line?
But there's no latest there. How is she going to... You said if she had a document without Edom on it.
No, there are Edom, Edom Chasima. Yes, the document includes the witnesses that are signed in. I just meant that, unlike the first case where there are, actual witnesses
no
to the Gerushin, right, this is just the Shtar of Edom Chasima. That's the requirement... That's in Chutz Laretz, where there's a requirement of a Fanei Nachtam. A Fanei Nachtam, how come you don't need two, you can get away with one? The answer is, Mishum Aguna Kila Barava. But where there's no requirement of a Fanei Nachtam at all, let's say Beretz Israel, let's say. So that's the right. Now how the Ravid fits in with the... Very difficult to read the Ravid in the Mishnah. However, the simple reading of the Mishnah is that if a woman has a get, like the Rambam, if a woman has a get, and it's her Edich Hasim on the get, and there's no requirement of a Fanei Nachtam, let's say in Eretz Yisrael, that she can remarry. So the that's what Tosa says. Abo kozman de la'osi ba'ala ma'arer, nisas al piaget. And then he adds, v'lo tanina mezuya, te mishum aguna kilu barabana. This Tosa is talking now. Meaning, we're not worried, maybe it's a forgery. Because of aguna, we're not going to hold up her remarriage for this chashash rachok. But then he adds, "Aval b'mamon tanina mizuya for nifra shelo b'fanav umi yisome b'lekuchos v'imlokei lo shavkas kaye v'chol birya sheyuchol kol adam lichtav shar milva v'lahachte meidem miyasmo v'lifra shelo b'fanav b'fanav yisome b'lekuchos." Which basically means, again, I'll get back to this maybe, but basically it means the following, very practical. Right? Tulsa says the word's going to get out that according to the halacha, meaning, if I come to court with a contract, I can get what I want, because the shtar protects itself, minat Torah, and therefore, I just scribble a couple of words on a document, forge a couple of signatures, and all of a sudden, I'm collecting from all my neighbors. As Tosa says, Lo Shafkas Chaye L'chol Birya. It's a nightmare. It's a social nightmare, economic nightmare. Right? So what do you do? So that's what Tosa says. Taninan, if the guy is not present and he can't claim on his own behalf, in other words, let's say the I don't want to collect from him. Let's say I'm a smart forger, so I'll wait till he's out of town. Right? And I'll go to the lien holder, the mortgage holder. Say, listen, so sorry for your loss, right? But I have the right to confiscate your property, to seize your property in lieu of his debt to me. And by the way, he's traveling now and unavailable. Right? That's what's going to happen. Or your shit. They don't know one way or another. They don't know what the father did or didn't do. All of a sudden, you know, your father, you know, I used to lend him money every Wednesday. And, you know, it's sad to say, but, you know, it's all due now. You know, 2 weeks after. They don't know anything. Right? So it says, Tanina. What is Tanina? Gemara says in Ksuba Staflam Advam, Tzach Pichalile. Now, sometimes Bezdin forwards a taina on behalf of people who can't defend themselves. It's Cherushotav Akatam. Tzach Pichalile. Right, if somebody is mute, right, to speak on their behalf. So Tosa says, when it comes to the problem of Mizuyav, Tani. Now, there are Rishonim who disagree. Again, I hope we'll get a chance to go up this on Tosa. Now Rishon will say, no, you don't say Tanina Mizuyav. That's one view. And then there's another view of the Rishonim that says, you don't need to say Tanina. Because the reason, you have to be Mekayim the Chosamos here, you have to verify the contract, not because of Tanina, because of Kiyum Shtaros Rabbanan. Going back to what I just said a minute ago, what is Kiyum Shtaros Rabbanan? Is Kiyum Shtaros Rabbanan, if there'll be an error, even though Daraisa you can dismiss it, Midrabbanan, you must respond to it? Or is Kiyum Shtaros Rabbanan, Midrabbanan, no contract, right, achieves the status of a legal document until it's authenticated? If you take the first view, then you have to discuss Taninan or not Taninan, meaning Kim Shtaros Rabbanan only means if there's an error. Now, if there's no error, there's no Kim Shtaros Rabbanan, and if the guy's out of town, then the question is, will Bezdin step in and do a Taninan? Will they be an advocate? You know, had he been here, he might have said, bring me a proof. He might have made an error.
Maybe he's inspired.
Sorry?
Well, maybe it's a collusive claim.
Maybe collusive like, between who knew?
Between the less debtor and the claimant. The claimant's going there for the debtor.
Oh, you mean against the Lukuchos?
Right, right.
That could be. We call that a kenunya.
Right, right.
You know,
what about the
could be.
Law Kutsi?
Sorry?
What about the Kutsi?
That's the
Raisa.
That's the Raisa. Minat Torah, we say Reish Lakish. Yeah. That's Law Kutsi finish the Ziyufeng. But Midrabbanan, we're saying something. The only question is, what are we saying, Midrabbanan? So are we saying, you know what, Midrabbanan, like the tone of your question, which is, there's got to be something somebody can do here, right? At least that's what I picked up. So, Midrabbanan, if somebody is going to challenge, we're going to demand a response. But we're still clinging, even Midrabbanan, to the basic idea of Reish Lakish, right? Bechatz HaFinish, or whatever. Or no, the Drabbanan, it goes further. The Drabbanan doesn't just say, there's got to be something to do if people complain. The Drabbanan says, very nice, Minat Torah, you don't require authentication, but the Drabbanan, a legal document, has to be beyond reproach. And we just aren't going to take any chances when it comes to legal documents. Kim Shtaros, that's not Taninan anymore, that's more than Taninan. You don't need the word Taninan for that. It just means the document itself requires, and the Rishonim, Ramban and Lavabasra, and Avayin, and the Eri here, who actually, there are probably three views of the Rishonim on this issue that Tosis raises. One is Tosis's Taninan. The other is, we don't even say Taninan unless we have an actual attack, an actual challenge, we still say, and the third view is, you don't even need Taninan. Kim Shtar's Rabbanan has already established the need to authenticate every document.
Well, what good is the Kim Shtaros that the Chashash is? Obviously, he found Aidim that are complicit in his attack, like say the counterfeit. So what does it Kim Shtaros? If that's a Chashash, they being Machtim Aidim. I mean, he found.
No, we usually
he
think
found crooked Aidim, and they're going to be chosim on the star. So what good is the Kim Shtaros?
No, so usually we assume that that's not what Ziyuf is. Usually Ziyuf is when somebody forges somebody else's name. I guess that's governed by its own chazaka, called Cheskas Kashrus or Eidus.
He
forges signatures, or he finds people who will forge the name of other people.
He finds crooked witnesses. So what good is the Kim
Shtaros? Well, I don't know if he finds crooked witnesses or he finds people who will forge the names of witnesses. We always assume that if the signature is, we're not assuming that the people are lying, we're assuming that the people are forges. Now, you could ask why that is so, but that's what we assume.
It also seems to imply Lahachting Aidin Miasmo.
Right. Meaning he's created his own agents.
He's creating a star with witnesses.
With false witnesses.
Okay,
that's a forgery.
They're false witnesses, but the Kim Shtaros is only going to validate the fact that it's their signature.
Right. I'm just saying we normally assume that when people sign their own signature, just like we assume when people come to court and they're made, unless we prove otherwise, we assume that the people are telling the truth. If I come to court and I testify together with someone else about a robbery,
right,
or a chilul Shabbos or whatever the case may be, right? So there's a certain cheskas kashrus that's called shai medim, and we accept that testimony. We don't say, oh, maybe they're lying. If you want to establish that they're lying, you have to prove that they're lying. Hakasha, hazama, as the case will be. But similarly, in Eidus Shebishtar, if these are the Eidim and they're claiming it happened, there's nothing more to do other than to treat them as other Eidim. But normally we're assuming that's what the idea of Ksav Yadam, or the idea of Kim Shtaros, is to establish, but maybe it isn't these people. It's a good horror, but that's the... So, good. Now, what I'd like to do is get back to some other points in the Mishnah.
Does everybody hold that Shilash is being as a thing in Eisel?
Yes. It seems so. I mean, there's no indication of the Gemara. Reish Lakish's halacha appears twice.
It's a din bezdin. It's a din bezdin, which is not a din
of Eisel. The Gemara here certainly holds us to Eisel.
Yeah.
The Gemara here says, Minat Torah, because of Reish Lakish, you don't need this.
But by other stones, maybe too.
The Gemara here actually, it happens to be talking about Gittin, but the statement of Eidim Achatsumim Al Hashtar Nasik Mishnach Rusum Bezdin appears in two places. Here in the context of Gittin, but not necessarily only Gittin. The other place is in Ksuvah Tafid Chesed Beis, where the Gemara speaks about, for sure, other Shtaros. The context there is a little bit different. There the Gemara speaks about the rule of Kim Shehigid Shuvah Nechozer Magid. The Gemara says, let's say two witnesses signed on a shtar, and then they claimed Anusim Hayinu, or Ketanim Hayinu, or Psulim Hayinu. That's the Mishnah and the Gemara in Ksuvis and the second parak and Yuchat Sumedes. So do we believe them or not? That's a whole big issue. The Meir, the Chachamim, the Reish of the Mishnah, the Sefer of the Mishnah, whole discussion. Okay. And maybe we'll get into some of it. It's very crucial to understanding shtaros, the truth is. So, at one point, the Gemara says, all things being equal, if Aidan say, we signed, but we were anusim, and now they're coming to say this, right? They had their opportunity, they chose to sign in the shtar, that's based on Reish Lakish. After all, Edom Achasumim Malashtar Nasa Kamish and Akra Dusu Benson. So there the Gemara is basically using Reish Lakish, again it's a Din Daraisa, in Sharshtaris. Now the interesting thing is, again I'm going a little off my organization, but doesn't matter, we can do this now, it's fine. The Ritva and the Gimel of Aleph, this Gemara in Gittin, says, why is the Gemara quoting Reish Lakish? To prove that the Shtar protects itself against the claim of Mezuyah. Reish Lakish didn't say that. All Reish Lakish said was that Kivin Shehigid, Shuvin, Echozer, Magid applies to Edus of the Shtar. One could have thought that all Reish Lakish meant was, it's a timing issue. What do I mean? Let me explain. The rule of Kivin Shehigid, Shuvin, Echozer, Magid is not limited to Shtar. I mean, the primary rule is a rule in Edus HaPeh. I mean, Edom come to court, they testify. They can't come back tomorrow and say, we changed our mind. Kivin Shehigid, Shuvin Echozer Magid. We learned that from Alimud, right again. That's the Gemara in Ksumas. Now, the question is, you can't change your mind, or you can't add to your testimony, because what the formulation is, at what point? I mean, when was the first, there has to be a first Haggadah, and then we say, oh, that was your chance. So in Edus HaPeh, there's no ambiguity. Why? We know when the Edim are made HaPeh, when they come to court, the Dayanim are sitting there, and they give their testimony. Right? So at that point, beyond that point, Kim Chigit Shuvin Echozer Magid. But when you have Edom signed in the Shtar, right, what's the point of their, what is the timing of their Haggadah? About which we could then say, Kivit Shehigid Shuvin Echozer Magid. When they sign? When the Shtar is handed over? Or maybe only when the Shtar reaches Bezdin, and Bezdin looks at it and starts to, starts to act on the basis of the Shtar. What is the Kivin Shehigid timing when it comes to Shtaros? So what does Reish Lakish say? Hey, debachsum malashar, nasa kemishin echoridusa bebezdin. The timing of Agadas Eidos b'shtar is Zman HaChasima. So anything after that qualifies for the general din of Kivin Shehigid Shuvin Echozer Magid. So the Ritva says, the Pashtus, we could say that's all Reish Lakish ever said. That the timing of Agadah Seidus Bishtar is this man, HaChasima. What does that have to do with this? That's a very modest, an important, but a very modest halacha. It tells me the timing of Agadah Seidus Bishtar. This halacha here, which is why I had planned on speaking of it in this order, but